The class will come to order. Well, Russ said he'd be a few minutes late, but that we'd go ahead and start correcting the paper. So if everyone would switch with your neighbor or someone close. I won't be able to make any of the alterations that some of the teachers can while they're grading the test. So if you have any questions, you'll just have to wait till Russ gets back. Okay, is everybody ready?
Everybody except Dan here.
Oh. Can someone grade his paper or two for a while? There you go. Okay, start with number one. Where was Daniel when he received this prophecy? Letter E, in Babylon, after Darius had conquered Babylon. Number two, which circumstances resulted in Daniel receiving this prophecy? Letter A, Daniel's prayer to God for the forgiveness and the restoration of Israel. Number three, by which method did Daniel receive this prophecy? Number C, God sent the angel Gabriel to Daniel to reveal it to him. Number four, which arguments support the conclusion that the 70 weeks are weeks of years? Number E, or letter E, all of the above. Number five, how long are the 70 weeks of Daniel? E, 490 years. Six, the 70 weeks of Daniel directly correspond to the number of years that Israel did which of the following? Letter B, violated the Sabbath years. Number seven, which view of the 70 weeks is the most common? Letter C, a gap between the 69 weeks and the 70th week. Smiles out there, people are doing well. Number eight, which interpretation of "and he shall confirm the covenant" is most common? Letter A, the Antichrist makes a firm covenant. Number nine, which was the prophecy written as 70 weeks? Excuse me, why was the prophecy written as 70 weeks with no time gaps? C, because Israel could have accepted the Messiah at his first coming. Number 10, why can't those who put the entire 70th week at the end of time object to our theory of time gaps in this prophecy? Letter D, all of the above. Number 11, which alternate translation of the phrase 70 weeks are determined fits the Hebrew and the meaning of the prophecy? Letter B, 77s are divided. Any questions, everybody? Keeping up. Thanks.
More.
All right. Number 12. To whom is the whole 70 weeks prophecy specifically addressed? Letter D, all of Israel, both Judah and Israel. Number 13. To which tribe did Daniel belong? C, Judah. Number 14. For whom was Daniel praying in the chapter? And the answer is D, all of the above. Number 15, why is the prophecy said to be upon the holy city? Letter E, because the restoration and subsequent destruction of Jerusalem and its temple are fundamental parts of the prophecy. Number 16, why does the prophecy say 70 weeks to put away sin when Christ did this on the cross before the 70 weeks were over? Letter A, because Christ put away sin provisionally on the cross, but it would take 70 weeks of years until it happened to national Israel in the millennium. Number 17, when will the everlasting righteousness mentioned in the prophecy be brought in? Letter D, during the millennium. I think someone's checking your paper. Number 18. Why is the righteousness called everlasting if it only lasts temporarily on earth for 1,000 years during the millennium? Letter B. Once righteousness is established in the millennium, it lasts forever. Number 19. What is the vision and prophecy that is sealed up? Letter D, the 70 weeks prophecy. Number 20, what is meant by the most holy? Letter E, Christ. 21, what is meant by anointing in the most holy? Letter A, anointing Christ at his baptism. Number 22, what is the specifically stated content of the command mentioned in Daniel 9:25? A, to restore and build Jerusalem. Number 23, how long is it from the going forth of the commandment until Messiah the Prince? D, 69 weeks. Number 24, who gave the commandment and when was it issued? A, Cyrus in the first year of his reign. Number 25, what is the main argument against Cyrus being king who issued the commandment? Letter C, Cyrus issued a command to build only the temple, not the city of Jerusalem. Number 26, what does unto the Messiah the Prince refer to? Letter B, the baptism of Christ. 27, how long were the 7 weeks, not counting any time gaps? B, 49 years. Number 28, what did Jesus say that proves that part of the 70 weeks prophecy had happened by that time? Letter E, the time is fulfilled. And now our real teacher has returned.
Tim. I was home watching the TV game show Jeopardy. No, not really. I'm just kidding. Okay, let's see. What are we on? 29, okay. 29 is A like apple. We'll just give the answers. Page 6, number 30, D like dog. 31, D like dog. 32, D like dog. 33, A like apple. 34, B like boy. 35, C like cow. Page 7. Question 36, D like dog. 37, C like cow. 38, C like cow. 39, A like apple. 40, C like cow. 41, D like dog. 42, E like elephant. Page 8. 43, B like boy. 44, E like elephant. 45, E like elephant. 46, A like apple. 47, C like cow. 48, D like dog. Page 9, 49, C like cow. 50, A like apple. 51, E like elephant. And 52, E like elephant. Anybody have a problem with 52? Because it seemed to be saying the only guy who does that is the Antichrist. Anybody have a problem with that? Or did my adding that statement help you? Okay, page 10. Check all that apply. Number 1, only D like dog is blank. The rest are checked. Okay, question 2. A check, B check, C blank, D blank, E check, F blank, G blank, H check, I check, J check, K blank, L blank. Page 11, number 3, A blank, B check, C check, D blank, E blank, F check, G check, H check, I blank, J blank. Question 4, they're all checked. Number 3, I like Indian is blank. Judy? Sure, question 1. Okay, I'm on page 10, question 1. A, let's see, only D like dog is blank. The rest are checked. Okay, we're on page 12, question 5. A, check. B, blank. C, I'm going to throw it out because there's too much ambiguity. It says the Messiah did not even come until the 69th week had expired. Well, if you say from the commandment to the Messiah, and you say that refers to his birth, or if you say it refers to his baptism, let's see, there might be a problem with this question, depending upon whether you pick here or here. So, I'm going to throw it out. I would check it, because I would say, the 69 weeks are over with, and then he's there. So anything that happens after that time to fulfill the prophecy must have happened during the 70th week. True. But there's a little bit of ambiguity, so I'm going to throw it out. D, check. E, check. And F, check. And question 6, only F like fish is blank. The rest are checked. Okay, page 13, question 7. A is blank. B check. C check. D check. E blank. And the rest are checked. Okay, page 14. A, match the events with the time they occurred. You have a question? I'll repeat the answers if you need it.
Yes.
Which one? 15?
12, reiterating because I was lost.
Page 12, all of them? 5 and 6.
5 and 6.
Okay. Number 5, A, check. B, blank. C, throw it out. And the rest are checked. D check, E check, F check. Okay, 6. Only F like fish is blank. The rest are checked. Did you need page 13, Janet? Okay, page 13, question 7. Only A like apple and E like elephant are blank. The rest are checked. You're welcome. Okay, page 14. Match the events with the time they occurred. Number 1, K like kite. 2, L like ladder. 3, O like olive. 4, N like nail. 5, B like boy. 6, P like pie. 7, B like boy. 8, C like cow. 9, D like dog. 10, J like jar.
6.
The whole 1 week segment. Let's see. B.
B is a boy. C is a cat. D is a dog. And.
And what?
And P.
Oh, I see. They're putting everything that's included in it. Yeah, I'll take that. That's okay. P is the best answer. For number 6. For number 6, somebody put B, C, and D, meaning all those events occur within the 70th week. Okay, page 15. Match the letters on the timeline. Okay, number 1, A like apple. 2, C or D or both. 3, B or E or both. 4, F like fish. 5, I like Indian. 6, K like kite. 7, L like ladder. 8, M like man. 9, M like man. 10, W like water. 11, D like dog. 12, H like hat. 13, Q like queen. And 14, X like x-ray. Susan? 9 is M like man. Yes? 10 and 11. 10 is W like water. 11 is D like dog. Janet? You realize now you can only ask questions on ones you got right. No, I'm just kidding. I notice students only ask questions on ones they got wrong. Okay, go ahead. That's okay. I was just kidding. And say the baptism of Christ.
I thought you said the birth of
Christ. Oh, well, the problem is Don believes the baptism of Christ. And so, how many of you put the birth of Christ and got it wrong because that's what I taught in class? Okay, we're on page 5, question 26. And I want to give credit to you if you did that. So, everybody turn to page 5, question 26. I'll take A or B as correct answers. Pastor believes it's at the baptism of Christ, and so that's what we teach. Yes? Okay, well, let's say it ended at his baptism for the purposes of this class. It did. It made you miss some other ones, like at the back where you had to do those timelines.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at them. Everybody clear on page 5, question 26? I'm taking A or B. Okay, turn to page 14. It may affect question page 14A, number 5, the end of the 62-week segment. Christ's birth would be A, Christ's baptism would be B. How many put A because of what you did earlier? Okay, just Ryan?
And Janet.
Janet, okay. Yeah, page 14, number 5, the end of the 62 weeks. If you said the birth of Christ, see the question is it the birth of Christ or the baptism of Christ? Pastor teaches it's the baptism of Christ. So, I guess on 5 I'll take A or B because when I taught the class I taught A and then later I went back and said B because that's what Don teaches. Okay.
Did that affect question 7?
Question 7, the beginning of the 70th week? No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. Holly? Yeah? Yes? Okay, I'll take that. Now, let's see, on page 15, did the end of the 62 weeks make a difference too or not? 5 and 6, maybe. Oh, there it is, the whole 62-week segment. Let's see, if you said
What'd you put for the whole 62-week segment? G?
Uh-huh.
On number 12, or on page 15, number 12, I'll take G or H. Anybody pick a different one because of that same problem of when the 62 weeks end? Yes?
I think for 5 and 6, I think I put A and L.
Do you have her paper? On page 15, what's she got for 5? Five, she's got K, and for 6, she's got L. Yeah, I don't think I could take those. Because K would have to be his baptism, L would be his ministry, M would be his death, N would be the next 3.5 years after his death, first 3.5 years of the church age. I guess I'll have to mark 5 and 6 wrong. Okay, anybody else have any problems? Yes, David?
Page 14, 5.
Yes?
I have A, for Christ's birth, the end of the 62-week segment.
Okay, I gave credit for that.
No, I did,
okay. Okay, anybody else? Okay, I'll take questions on any part of the test now, not just that. David?
Question 6. I put on violating the years of Jubilee and Sabbath. Since Sabbath year, the Jubilee year also fell on Sabbath year. I was thinking the Jubilee year and Sabbath year are kind of the same.
They're not. In fact, I don't believe God counted the Jubilee years as disobediences. The Jubilee year is a Sabbath of sorts, but it's never called a Sabbath in the Bible. It's called the Jubilee. And I think it was the Sabbath years that they disobeyed. I don't believe God reckoned the Jubilee years. Holly?
On page 5, number 25.
Okay.
If it was the main argument against Christ, prior to the commandment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose it's debatable between A and C. Page 5, question 25, there's two arguments used against Cyrus. One is his dates don't fit, and the other is he said to build only the temple. How many of you on page 525 put A, his dates don't fit? Okay, I'm going to take that as a right answer. I agree. I'm going to correct that on the test so we don't have that again. I agree, that's too ambiguous. 25, I'm going to take A as a correct answer or C as a correct answer. Okay, any other questions? David?
Number 18, top of page 4.
Yeah?
On letter B, the statement follows. I discounted B because it says unrighteousness is never reestablished anywhere on earth or in heaven. But at the end of the millennium, the devil is released for a short period. And so to me, that's unrighteousness.
So what did you choose?
I said E, not the above.
Oh. Well, it isn't really reestablished, because what happens is there's the post-millennial rebels, and then fire comes down out of heaven from destroys them. So I don't think it's true that they overthrow Christ and establish themselves as an unrighteous government. Once righteousness is established, it is never overthrown. Not even by the post-millennial rebels.
So you're saying by established, you're saying that Christ would have to be overthrown.
Right. There's righteousness on the earth from the time he starts to reign forever. And the only exception would be what you brought up. There's a post-millennial rebellion, but it's crushed, and so it doesn't affect his righteous rulership. Okay, any other questions? I guess I won't accept that one then. Tim?
Number 9 of the issue.
Yeah?
Are you saying that the prophecy wasn't
That's what Don believes. Don believes that. Yeah, that's a problem. All I can tell you is that's what Don told me to teach, and I can't say anything more about it. Okay, so I admit it's a problem, and I don't want to stand here and try to correct Don. So. He believes that when the 70 weeks were written, they were written as a continuous chronology with no time gaps, so that once they started, they could have run a continuous 490 years and they would have happened exactly as stated, and the Jews could have accepted Christ and they could have had the millennium in the first century. That's what he believes. Now, with regard to the first 7 weeks, I suppose he could say, well, there's a 10-year work stoppage, and, you know, there's these work stoppages that had to be made up, and so he might allow that. But what he really believes is that it was written so that the Jews could have accepted the Messiah. The Jews did not have to kill their Messiah. That's what he believes. Yeah, the problem Tim brought up, which is, if you say this is true, and you start here at 536, and you go 490 years, because they didn't have to stop building, and let's say they didn't, and it was continuous, well, the Messiah would have got here before Christ was born. You follow that? That's what you're saying, right, Tim? Mm-hmm. But the question is, why did he write it with no time gaps? So the argument, well, he knew there would be, doesn't really answer the question, why did he write it as though there were none? Your question is still valid to me. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. Let's throw out question 9. Nobody gets minus points for it. The less I say, the better. It doesn't. I wrote the question, so I know it. I know I didn't mean that. Okay. Okay, any other questions? Let's see. Steve, you had one? Yeah.
Why are we saying that not all 10 tribes are present?
Because there are scriptures in Isaiah and Jeremiah which say that they return after the beginning of the millennium. And so I haven't covered those. I just told you that that's what the Bible says, but we didn't read them yet. Yeah, there's lots of them. In Jeremiah says God is going to appoint fishermen, and it means Israelites, and they're going to go out and be fishers of men, and they're going to bring in the Israelites. And Ezekiel talks about it, and Isaiah says they'll come from the north and the south and the east and the west and from the islands of the sea, and they're going to bring them into Israel all during the beginning of the millennium. Okay. I'm not going to talk to you because Sweden won more medals than America. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. Let's see. Are you on page 11, question 4?
Three.
Oh, question 3. So let's see. You're on letter I. Why did you check that one again? Oh, I see. The problem is that it says after.
So if you drew a picture, it would look like this. The 69 are over with. And then, let's say you have one more week and it's continuous. This would be week number 70. This would be 69 and a half right there. Okay? And that is when he died. Christ died right there. But it says after. So you'd have to have him die here, or here, or here. So by saying after, that's what makes that choice wrong. The better word in English would be at.
Was that hard for you because of the word? At and after? Okay. I would give it to you if you didn't win more medals. No, really, I need to ask you. Is it because of the words were kind of didn't get them exactly in your mind? Okay. I'm going to give you credit, okay? So you can fix that on your paper. But the better word would be at. And if it said at means exactly right on it, like that. After would mean later. Okay. Holly?
Did you mention on 12, number 5, B, did you mention that there were times of
No, I don't know any of them. I don't know of even one more example. This is the only one.
Did you list as one of the reasons that there are gaps?
There's a difference between a gap and then accounting for a gap by a time clock method. So I would check A. There are examples of time gaps where God said so and so and so and so, but he never did it in a measured amount of years. This is the only prophecy where you have a measured amount of years with units. You have 70 counting units of 1 year, 1 week each. And so in order to make it work out, you have to have a time clock method, start it and stop it. But on the other prophecies, you don't have a time clock because you don't have years to go by. It's just this happens and it ends, and then at some undefined later time, it happens again. But there's no time reckoning. Judy?
4E,
okay.
I guess I might have interpreted it kind of funny. Can you explain the correct answer?
Yeah, that should be checked. Because the text says, he confirms the covenant for 7 years. But according to the Antichrist theory, the Antichrist breaks it after only carrying it out or confirming it for 3.5 years. Whoever the he is, he does the confirming for the whole 7-year period. And the Antichrist theory doesn't have him doing that. And so that's an argument against it.
You know, I can see what you're saying. It makes sense. But when I read it, I just had a whole different interpretation.
Oh, how did you interpret it? Okay, you read it differently anyway. Yeah, well, they teach that he does. They teach that the Antichrist makes a covenant for 7 years, and then in the middle of it, he breaks it. But what it says is, he, whoever the he is, does it for all 7 years. So that's an argument against their doctrine. Okay, anybody else? Boy, almost all the Baptist church believes it, and almost all the Pentecostal church believes it. Mm-hmm. Hal Lindsey believes it. All the big Bible teachers that are famous on television believe the Antichrist theory. And it's a common interpretation. There are some people who don't, though, especially some of the older Bible commentators of the 1800s. They don't. Modern premillennial theology says the he in Daniel 9:27 is the Antichrist. Question 8. Which interpretation of he shall confirm the covenant is most common? A. The Antichrist makes a firm covenant. That's right. That's the common interpretation believed by most people. Okay, anybody else?
Just on the correcting of that, do we, for the one or two X's, do we make it like 98?
No, just count that it's still 100 and subtract the minus points. Okay, the test is still 100 points. You just get those questions free. Okay? Okay, 100 points, subtract from 100. Put the plus score at the top of the paper, not just the minus score. And pass them in. Okay, now today I have some handouts I want to give you. Because we're studying the 2300 days of Daniel. There's a television comedian named David Letterman, and he said the reason he watched the New Hampshire primary instead of the Winter Olympics is he wanted to watch an American win something.
Yes? You need one to close. Sorry, did I skip you? Yeah.
Okay, they're in the primaries in like 14 states, all the South.
See, last year the Americans did, I mean, in 84, they did pretty good, really. Bill Johnson won the men's downhill, and Debbie Armstrong won what? The giant slalom? Gold medal, two gold medals in skiing, and Phil and Steve Mayer got first and second in the men's slalom. And so in skiing, we did really good, America, because usually we don't. But in 84, we did. This year, everybody's crashing and, you know, they're not skiing real good. Yeah, I probably would win that. Cliff falling. Cliff crashing. Okay, yeah, that's right. You better be saved if you're in that event. So the Lord will have angels protect you. Okay, now let's see. We're studying the 2300 days of Daniel. And tape students pick up files 18 and 19 in the college library. These are two handouts that pertain to Daniel 8:13 and the prophecy of the 2300 days. All right, now let's see. We were just going to read the chapter, is that right? How far did we get? Excuse me. Oh, that's right.
Sure. It's this one here. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Okay, so this is the story of the ram and the he-goat. And so you'll remember there was a ram that had two big horns, and it said one horn was higher than the other and came up last. And we saw that that represented the Medo-Persian government. And the Persian horn is the higher horn that came up last. The way to remember that is M comes before P. And so the Medes reigned earlier and were stronger at the beginning because M comes before P. And then the Persians reigned stronger at the end and later, and they ended up later being the most prominent. And so they are the higher second horn. Okay, and then it says, he saw a he-goat coming, verse 5, from the west. And that would be true geographically because we're talking about Persia, which is way over here in Asia. And here's Greece over here. So he's coming from the west. That's Alexander the Great with his armies depicted here by a he-goat. And it says, he came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. That notable horn is Alexander the Great. So he's got a great big horn right between his eyes, which a he-goat would not normally have. Goats don't have a horn between their eyes. They have two horns on the top of their head. Verse 6, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler. Choler means extreme anger against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. So this he-goat is really something. He's got a lot of power. And he smashes into this big, burly ram. Now, I think if you've ever seen a ram and you've ever seen a he-goat, a ram is a bigger, stronger animal than a he-goat. But this he-goat has an extra powerful horn right in the middle. So he smashes the ram, knocks the ram to the ground, breaks both ram horns, and then tramples on the ram and smashes it and grinds it into the ground. So the ram is done away with. Verse 8. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So after the he-goat destroyed the ram, the he-goat became very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. I assume you could say it was broken off right even with his face. I don't think it was broken off like it's 2 feet long and it broke off 1 foot back, so most of it was there. I don't think that's true. I think it just means crack, and it snapped and broke off till there was nothing there at all, just a flat mark where it was. And then it says, and for it came up four notable ones, that is, four notable horns, toward the four winds of heaven. So these horns looked like this, which is unusual again. One of them went west, one of them came out and went east, one of them went north, and one of them bent and pointed south. Now, animals don't have horns that are bent in those directions. That's unusual. Now, that's because this is in a vision, and these horns are symbolic. They're not real. They depict spiritual realities, in this case, political realities. And so the big horn, which is Alexander the Great, was broken, and it means four men would rule in Alexander's place after he died, which is exactly what happened historically. Once Alexander the Great died, his son did not reign in his place, like most kings' sons reign. Instead, his family did not become great. Four of his generals took over his empire and reigned in his place. And that's who these four horns represent. And then it says, and out of one of them came forth a little horn.
So we would draw it like you have on your handout there, file 19, where you have one horn going this way, one horn going this way, one horn going this way, and one horn going this way. And then it says, out of one of them came a little horn. So you have an extra horn growing out of one of those new four horns.
But then it says, which waxed exceeding great. Verse 9. Toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land, and it waxed great.
So this little horn waxed great. So we're going to have to draw this little horn like this, but then we're going to have to make it real big because it waxed huge.
And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he. Now notice the pronoun changes from the neuter it. The horn is called an it in verses 9 and 10. And then the horn is called he in verse 11. So this extra horn that grew out of one of the four represents a man. This horn is a he. He magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And then it goes back to finish it, and it goes back to the pronoun it, that is, the little horn. And it, the little horn, cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So, what we have here is Medo-Persia and Greece. Greece was to conquer Medo-Persia. Alexander would die. Four men would reign in his place. And out of one of those four, a little horn is going to come. And this guy is a bad guy. Because it says in the prophecy that when he comes, he's going to cast down the host, cast down the stars, stamp upon him, magnify himself even to the prince of the host, take away the daily sacrifice, and destroy the sanctuary. And so he's going to wreak havoc upon Israel, especially with regard to the temple. Now, verse 13 lists four events of temple trouble that this little horn is going to cause. So let's read verse 13 and write down what four bad things this guy called the little horn is going to do. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?
Well, the first event is with regard to the daily sacrifice. And we're going to see that it means he takes away the daily sacrifice, or he stops the daily sacrifice. Number two, the transgression of desolation. We're going to see that that refers to the abomination of desolation way down at the end time. And then it says to give the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. So the third event is to the sanctuary is trodden underfoot, and the fourth event is the host is trodden underfoot. And so
those are four events of temple trouble that the little horn is going to cause. So he says, how long shall be the vision concerning the temple trouble? And the answer in verse 14 is, he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed.
So we could say from the beginning of the prophecy to the end of the prophecy, it's supposed to last 2,300 days. And within the 2,300 days, all this temple trouble is going to happen, and then the temple trouble is going to be over, and the sanctuary will be cleansed. The daily sacrifice will be started up, the abomination of desolation will be over with, the sanctuary will no longer be trodden underfoot, and neither will the host. The word host here probably refers to God's people being persecuted in some manner by the little horn. Okay, so that's an overview of the prophecy. Now,
Daniel gives you the interpretation here in verse 15 and following. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. See, he saw this vision and he sought for the meaning. Seeking for the meaning means seeking from the meaning for God, from God. No man's going to tell him the meaning. So he saw this vision and he was seeking God and saying, Lord, what is the meaning of this vision that you just showed me? He was seeking the meaning. Then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, now this is the voice of God. Notice he's by the Ulai River, verse 2. He was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and he saw in a vision it was by the river Ulai. In other words, Daniel had moved. He used to live here in Babylonia. Now he lives way over here in Persia, quite a ways east over in the Persian court, as a real old prophet. And he's living there, and he saw in a vision, he was carried to this river. And he was standing in a vision, his body's in the palace, but in the vision he's standing by this river. Now he says he heard a voice between the banks of Ulai. So it means, here's a bank, and here's a bank, and the middle is just the river water. So he hears this voice out over the surface of the water, kind of in the middle. And the voice says, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he sees the appearance of a man, the angel Gabriel, probably dressed in white, 6 feet tall, you know, looks like a man, wearing whatever clothes he's wearing, probably kind of bright, handsome, righteous and holy. He sees this man, and then he hears this voice out over the river, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Verse 17. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid. How would you like it? You're standing there. You see this vision. You pray, God, what does this mean? You open your eyes. There's a man standing there. There he is, right in front of you. And then you hear this voice, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And so the Bible says, he came near where I stood. Like this.
Do this to Janet. He showed his reaction.
He said, I was afraid. Boy, I'd be afraid too. You open your eyes, there's an angel there, and then he walks right over to you. That's what it says. And he fell over because of it. He fell over. He fell upon his face. But he said unto me, now he's still fallen down on his face, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now this is a very important verse because it shows us that one of the common interpretations of this prophecy is wrong. There's a lot of preachers who preach that this whole thing took place somewhere between 175 B.C. and 164 B.C. Somewhere in that range, the prophecy started and was fulfilled and is now over with. This is over 150 years before Jesus was born. Now, the interpretation that everything in Daniel 8 happened by 164 B.C. can't be true. Because Gabriel said, Daniel, this vision will happen at the time of the end. So it's not a before Christ type prophecy. It's a last days prophecy. We know that for sure. Okay, we'll stop there, take a 5-minute break, and then continue reading.